Welcome to The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. Astoria's population has hovered around 10,000 for a very long time, but it grew to 25,000 during World War II. I wondered where all those thousands of extra people lived. So I headed to the Clatsop County Historical Society at the Heritage Museum. I talked with Lisa Penner and Julie Burpee to learn about that and other bits of local history. Lisa is something of a local legend for her knowledge of our past, and I asked her how she came to that.
It pretty much started, my sister and I, we were living in California, and during the war, my father took off, and we didn't see him for years. My mother then had to go to work, and we were put with different families. So we didn't really know anything about our own family until one day my father showed up and he had books of his research that he had done on the family. So all of a sudden, you know, it was like coming out of a desert and all this water, you know, and I just kind of went nuts going into researching the family. And I spent years doing that and was able to get a connection with my father because we were both interested in the same subject. I had so much to learn, you know, I was just really excited about it all. And so I started going to genealogy meetings at the library. And then we had somebody come and give us a talk and say, you know, the cemeteries really need to be recorded here. Somebody's got to do that. And I said, well, just down the road from where I live, there's a little cemetery, the Lewis and Clark Cemetery, and they were planning on doing, trying to help restore that cemetery. And they said, oh, okay, you're president. I've never, ever been president of anything in my life, and I don't think I ever had an office in anything in my life. There was a group of us belonging to that cemetery. One was Jim Denon. Jim Denon was just an incredible guy, and we computers are just brand new at that time. But he and his brother had a company in Warrenton that started the computer business here, and so Jim knew all about it. And so he taught each one of the members of that group working on the cemeteries, and so each of us did a cemetery. And we were on kind of our own doing the cemetery. So we could do what we wanted, how we wanted. And none of us had ever done anything like this before, except Jim. Jim became the editor of the Comtucks, and he was one before me. And then I was also kind of bored, and on the side I was taking art classes up at the college because I'd never taken art before. I just wanted to do something really different. And so the person who was teaching the class was working here at the Heritage Museum. And she talked me into coming here and volunteering in the archives. And we had, they were just moving everything from the Flavel House. We just got the building here. All these mix of things that had to be all sorted out and labeled and identified. And so, but what Judy was really interested in was the paper materials. And so that's what I started working on, the accessions. So I think my name is there about 1987, 88, something like that. And so I was learning, you know, constantly about all of the early pioneers who were here. And I was just fascinated with the whole thing.
Julie, what about you? How did you get involved in this mess?
Oh, love. You can blame it on love. I met a man from Washington, John Burpee, who's the superintendent out at Lewis and Clark National Historical Park. And we moved all over the country, and then an opening came up out here close to his home. So here we are. And I was actually a teacher for a long time. And then this came open, and I'm like, you know what? I think it's time for a new thing. And I got in here and got to sit at the knee of Lisa this for 5 years now. And it has been amazing. I don't know what honor, how I earned this honor, but I have sure learned a lot from you, Lisa. And then this internet archive business, it's amazing. We just cleared 4,000 items. So hooray. That has taken a long time. And we've learned how to make it a little faster. We've used AI a little bit. If we're uploading PDFs, you can put the PDF into AI and have it make a summary and look for keywords. Mm-hmm. One thing we wanted to say in this interview is if anybody out there listening has an old family album mm-hmm. that they want to keep, but they'd like to share it with people online, they can loan it to us. I can probably do it in a day mm-hmm. and get it back to them. And that way people can see it out there in the world, and other researchers might make a connection to your family that way. Or if anybody has, newspaper, like student newspapers are really interesting, yearbooks. We need Napa yearbooks. We're low on Napa and Brown's Mead stuff. So anyway, we're just looking for anything really and the goal is not to have it here, it's to share it.
Right.
It's just an outlet if somebody needs a free way to share it with people back east or something. The best thing people have been using are the directories, the mm-hmm. city directories. Mm-hmm. 1894 is our oldest one. They are basically phone books, kind of. Mm-hmm. You know, they basically have your, well, more than a phone book. They have your name, your address, your occupation a lot of times. They're very, very handy for people looking up history of their house. We use them a lot for businesses, not just people's individual records, but to figure out where the businesses were, what their connections were, and where they moved over time.
Astoria's population more than doubled during World War II, growing from 10,000 to 25,000. Where did all those extra 15,000 people live?
The federal government decided that because we were having a lot of people coming here in the military, we had to find places. And so one of the things they did was to select a group of people who were well known in the different parts of town. And they were to go from house to house to evaluate each house and to convince the person who owned the house that they could rent out a few rooms mm-hmm. and they wouldn't have to get the money from the person who lived there, but the federal government would have a contract with the person who moved in and pay them monthly. And for a lot of people, this was a nice source of extra income. Sure. And that was one of the ways.
Originally, many of Astoria's downtown streets were given Native American names. But at some point, they were changed to English names like Commercial, Bond, and Exchange.
One of the names was Skamakwe, mm-hmm. and that was for Commercial Street. Mm-hmm. And Skamakwe was a real problem for people because they couldn't figure out how to spell it. So every time you saw it in the newspaper, it was, could be two different ways spelled. And so the editor of the newspaper just got really tired of it and said, why don't we do something about this? And I can't remember now exactly what it was, but they decided to rename all the streets. And I have a chart that shows the name changes, and it's really complicated.
Because hopefully Julie will put that up on the web.
I know, we need to dig that out and put it up there.
Yep.
Here, I'll write it down.
Yeah, because you really, if you're researching your house and you have a really old house, you need to know what the name of the street used to be.
Sure.
And then the numbers were changed, and that was one of the most confusing things. Because people from, say, like 1940s might have a letter with an address on it. Well, the address wouldn't be the same as the address now because they roughly doubled the numbers a certain period of time. But they didn't do it for the whole of Astoria. They did it for parts of a story, which makes things confusing for us and for the others.
For a long time after its founding, there were no roads to Astoria, but people came anyway, by ship and sometimes on foot.
Boats arriving all the time, but a lot of people got here on foot. I mean, it's amazing, crossing the plains and then traveling up and down the river looking for a place to settle. P.W. Gillette came overland, and he had smallpox when he started out. He was just getting over the smallpox, he was in Missouri somewhere, something like that. And then he joined a wagon train to come west, and he was one of the early people here in the 1850s. And what is so wonderful about that is that he was a very social person, and he was interested in politics. But he had a donation land claim where he grew all kinds of what he called horticultural plants. But it included apples and plums and cherries, but a lot of flowering plants. Mm-hmm. And he said that he had, if you went up and down the coast, all the way down to California, you would find yards with flowers that he had grown here. But he was very interested in politics, and he was not a real fan of Flavel, I don't think.
So his journal is online, and it's the cursive version and the transcribed version that you mentioned earlier. You got the project you guys did, or transcribing all these journals.
Oh yes, so, and so it's on.
Yeah, it's online, yeah. And that's another thing that's got a lot of hits, as people have read that journal a lot. Yeah,
it was really a job to do it, because I think Judy Bird, who was the one who got me to work here, she was the one who started doing it. And then, you know, she got tired after a while. And then Carol Moore, who is a volunteer here, she was a volunteer here for years. Her husband was a physician, Dr. Moore. Anyone who was here would know him at the time. And she worked on it until she just couldn't do it anymore. And then I started working on it, and I had to have an operation. I was home in bed, and I had the book with me, and I was transcribing it there, lying in bed. But, I mean, it was so absorbing, and it was so exciting to read it. It was just wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just all about his... When he got here, he started writing it, and he wrote about the whole journey coming here. And he wrote about all of the people who lived here. And because he was so social, he knew everybody.
Among the current projects underway at the Historical Society is expansion of its collection on the history of Tongue Point.
So with the current closures of different things, we recently, Tongue Point was going to close.
Right.
And so they reached out to us and said, oh my gosh, we've got these archival materials. Could you guys take it? Because they're valuable, they're precious, and what do we do with it? So we went and got them and brought them over. So if you look here to your right, that's what all this is, these huge scrapbooks from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. And a lot of newspaper clipping, but they're all labeled, and they're all, so it tells the growth of Tongue Point Job Corps Center. They're great. So I'm working on that right now. But now they're back open. So this is now a loan,
right?
And we're going to give it back to them, but we'll go ahead and put it online for them so people can see all the amazing things they were doing they continue to do. I feel like we need to talk more about the Job Corps in this community.
I was just looking on the internet, and one of the stories, there was a pamphlet that you had scanned. Yeah. And it was all about housing during World War II.
Hmm.
And it was the explanation exactly how they were going to do it all.
Yeah. So basically, if we have we're always having researchers come in, which is why we're here.
Right.
And on the side. So when I pull, you know, when we pull the stuff for them and they leave, I'm like, oh, look at this. I'll set it over on my table and then I'll sneak it in there and then put it back in the vault. And so if you ever are looking at the Internet Archive and you're like, why did she go from World War II housing to P.W. Gillette to the Lutheran Church? How come? And it's just literally just whatever's crossing our table at that point, you know? So it keeps me super interested because it's always something different. But if you go to the Internet Archive and you put in, there's a place you can click, like a pull-down menu, and it says items added or items archived. If you want to see what our latest things are, that's where you see the new stuff.
I asked Julie how people can learn about the history of their own Clatsop County home.
I think the first thing, probably the most important thing, if you come in here, you need to look and find your old address. Mm-hmm. When Lisa mentioned they doubled the number of your house back in 1955, but it wasn't exactly a double. So that's where the directories come in handy. So our 1954 and 1955 directories have the most views because a lot of people are going there to find out their old address. And the way we do it is we look up the 1955 address, the quote unquote new one, right? Mm-hmm. And then you go back to the 54 directory and find the person listed from 55, find them in 54. And they'll have their old address there, if that makes sense. And then you can use both of those to go to the Internet Archive and put that into the search bar and see what comes up. Sometimes it'll pop up in a newspaper clipping. Sometimes it'll pop up in somebody's transcribed journal. You know, you never know. But I would also recommend people go into City Hall looking for records there. I was just talking with John Gutenberger over here about there's a site on the Oregon State Historic Preservation Office, and it's the heritagedata.prd.state.oregon.us. You can put it into Google, but they've got your inventory, your house inventory. Hmm. We have some of those here, but if you want the full inventory, go online. So online is really where you're going to be able to search a lot. You could go look on the National Register of Historic Places. You could try on our Internet Archive, we've got the newspaper index cards too. So sometimes your house, if somebody was rebuilding, they would put your address in and it would be in the newspaper. So you could try that. I'm going to give a shout out to the Lower Columbia Preservation Society. On their website, they've got a handout. They've got a printout of a detailed bullet step-by-step way to research your house. So between us and City Hall and the library and LCPS, I mean, you're going to have to do some looking. It's not just one place.
Yeah, I think are they lcps.org?
Yes. Yeah. And then the CCHS is really good. We're good for if you want to know more about the people that lived in your house. Mm. Like we're not so much the architecture people, we're the story people.
Yes.
So, you know, if you want help knowing about, you know, or do you have any pictures of this person? Oh, and sometimes if we have a photo album of the family, then in the background is their house. So, you know, if you need those resources, that's where we come in handy. So,
both Lisa and Julie talked about their sources for historical information.
Yeah, well, I've had a little bit of a bias. I really like the early years. And so that is what I was first interested in collecting. And then when so many queries started coming in, I thought it'd be useful to make indexes from a lot of the records that we have, or a lot of the records that they have at the courthouse. Mm-hmm. Like there is the coroner's report, and that is for the years, I think, 1906 to 1908, something like that. And coroner's reports are always interesting because there are sometimes suspicious deaths.
Yes,
or, you know, it's accidental.
Many TV programs are based on that.
Yeah, yeah, but it's interesting to read it because it's not something that you see very often. I mean, there might be something in the newspaper,
right, right.
You know, that you need to add, you know, to the information you get from the coroner's report. But a coroner's report sometimes goes into a lot more depth. You know, who were the people that the person was with? What were they doing? And it's really interesting.
Yeah. So I would say we go wherever we need to go. So it's kind of hard to answer that question. And one thing that came to my mind is, I don't know if this answers your question, but we go to ancestry.com a lot. We go to Family Heritage. We go find a grave. Ooh, that's come in handy. And a shout out to all the historic places in this town. I think the Maritime Museum Archive and the Library Archive and us and church archives. I mean, everywhere we've ever reached out, people have been very willing to share knowledge. So I like that there's a feeling more of sharing lately. I feel like in the past, like when I first got here, it was a little more protected or something. And now I feel like we're maybe because of the pandemic, we realized, you know what, let's put this online. And there's a lot of good information online all over. The Oregon State Historic people have a good database online. We got a guitar donated not too long ago from a CCC worker out here who actually was from Tennessee. So his guitar was left with people out here. Anyway, and it got us researching the CCC, and come to find out when they wrote their newsletters, they sent them to the University of Illinois as part of the WPA program. And anyway, so the University of Illinois has all of the newsletters written by the boys out here, because they sent a copy to them because it was a government thing. And so anyway, we went to the University of Illinois to find CCC newsletters. So I don't know if that answers your question, but like, we go where the wind takes us, Roger.
And probably where people's questions take you.
That's exactly right. Day. Yeah, and we're always finding new places to go. It just depends on the question. Yeah.
So are there specific kinds of things that you're looking for now that you would like to acquire or have people bring in or like to find out about? Or are you just wanting people to bring what they've got and let you kind of go through it and see what might be in there?
Right. We're always, I think people think that, you know, oh, if we bring it to the Historical Society, they're going to keep it. And at this point with the Internet Project, we don't need to keep it. It's all about sharing history. Mm-hmm. So if folks want to bring their photo albums in, and we'll take a picture and send it back with them. Then as far as donations, I think, you know, anything related to Clatsop County. And I know that people have considered this archive to be Astoria-centric. Mm-hmm. And it almost had to be because it's sitting right here in the middle of Astoria.
Right.
But it's got Clatsop County on the name. And so we really do try to protect and share stories of the whole county. But we're trying to reach out. We've got the Brownsmead Historical Society working with us now, and Seaside Historical, we're working with them. And so I guess anything that as long as it's got to do with Clatsop County, call us. Yeah. And again, with, you know, email, so easy. You know, if you live down in Jewell, it's kind of a haul to get up here to show us. So if they want to take a picture of what they have and then email us, and you can go to astoriamuseums.org to get our emails, mm-hmm. and just say, hey, you know, is this something you guys are interested in? And we'll let you know.
If you want some help with your research from the Historical Society, it's best to call or write to make an appointment.
And the good news about making an appointment, too, is that then we have time to go look in the attic and the basement, you know, and mm-hmm. dig out your family's information. If you just stop in, that's okay. We'll help you what we can, but we're probably not as useful to you without some prior knowledge. So I would recommend either calling or emailing and just setting up a time. We like to do Thursdays and Fridays because we've set those aside as research days. Mm-hmm. But we can work with you. You know, we're not going to turn you away if you can only come on Monday. But yeah, I would just communicate with us. Just mm-hmm. reach out. We're definitely willing to help you. And then, like I mentioned, all these other places, yeah. We're good at sending you to other places, too, if we can't help you.
The area that is now Warrenton once contained smaller towns or communities, such as Hammond, Flavelle, Skipanon, and Lexington.
Yes, one that's just come up is the town of, I guess, I don't know if you could call it a town, but Lexington.
Lexington, yeah.
And that was the first court, where the first court was held, although it was held in different houses.
Right. And they were, that was going to be the county seat. They were talking about it?
Yeah.
For a bit? Because of the courthouse, or because of the courts. It wasn't a courthouse.
Yeah. And then we had somebody who, John McClure, who donated a block in Astoria here for the courthouse. Mm-hmm. And it was free while before they had to pay rent for using different person's houses. There was a place that I hadn't heard of before, Laurel Park, I think it was, and that is on Clatsop Plains. And the reason that it came to me as kind of a surprise to hear about it was because that was a place where there were bank robbers who had escaped from the Oregon State Penitentiary. And they had been in Astoria, and they had been robbing places here in Astoria, but they weren't confined here. They were also robbing all around the state, and the people at the penitentiary suspected they might have come back here, and so they were found them at Laurel Park, and. The people from the penitentiary had come, the people themselves from the penitentiary, I mean the officials, and they had a shootout. Hmm. And the two guys that they were after were killed.
There are now over 4,000 items on the Historical Society's Internet Archive. One of the new uploads is poems written by Astoria school children during World War II.
They're a notebook, and I've been something that was a school project somebody had, and they are the poems are by a number of different children, and I think this was in the about 1941, something like that, while World War II was going on, and it is very interesting what the children wrote, because they. We're living through, you know, something that, you know, we don't quite understand. Mm-hmm. And some expressing their fear, you know, their fears that they don't know what's going to happen.
We've been talking with Lisa Penner and Julie Burpee at the Clatsop County Historical Society. You can find out more at historiamuseums.org. To get to the Internet Archive, click on Explore in the menu. And scroll down to find the archive link. This is The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rucka. Thanks for listening.